Father God, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus paid for each one of us. And we thank you that because of this, we can be made right with you. And Father, open our hearts and our minds and help us to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. If you've got the Bibles and you've still got them open, that's great. So, as you know, as Mark said, we are looking at this big story, the meta-narrative that runs in the Bible. So who hasn't been here so far for any of these? Okay, why not? I forgive you. You don't live here, so that's totally understandable, you know. And then Scotland's a long way to come as well, and so is Enfield. But anyway, and apparently so is Jarvis Brook. But anyway, ho-hum. So let's, for those of you who have been here, let's recap. And I took a lesson from Mark last week. I don't have the board. But the lesson is that, so we start with that. So what's that? God made the world. Okay, so come on. So God created the world and us to live in it. Okay, so we went on from there. Hopefully. There we go. Oh, there we go. So what's that? Got it back before. Yeah, you did the talk, Feezy. So anyway, so you should remember, you know. So what's this one? The fall. God, we rebelled, okay? And the passage is there. So we became separated from God because we rebelled, okay? So then we went on to the P. What's the P? Promise. And so where was the promise? What was the promise? Yep. So it was the fact there was a rescuer for the whole world, and it was given to Abraham. Okay? So, and then we went last week to the sort of fact that it's all about Jesus. I was expecting a click there. I was expecting something different to come up, but that's fine. But this is what we're looking at, that he sent Jesus, who is the Saviour. He is the rescuer. And that's what we're looking at. So what happened is, so God sent Jesus, as Mark talked about last week. And is that what happened is he came and he made everything instantly better. A new and better world order with Jesus, the Son of God, at the helm. The answer is no, actually. So the rescuer coming is not enough. The rescuer coming is not enough. The most important thing about the rescuer coming is the rescuer had to die. Wait. Back up. What do you mean the most important thing of his mission is he has to die? Surely that's a bit of a rubbish mission, really. Which is over before it begins. Jesus was on earth for 30-odd years, and then bam, gone. A short time of teaching, short time of pointing people back to God. He starts to irritate people, starts to make a difference, and then he's killed. Surely that's not a success story. Surely that's a failure. Well, humanly, that's probably true. Humanly, people make an impact, and when they die, they often make very little lasting impression, except potentially the manner of their death. And people then lament on what they could have done or could have achieved. James Dean, the actor. Kurt Cobain, the lead singer of Nirvana. Most recently, Joe Cox, the MP murdered this week. These are all people who died young, who all had a mission and a life's work, but probably all of them didn't achieve it. They all died young. So we can look at it and say, actually, their work's not finished. So when we look at the Jesus story, we say, well, 33 years. Surely that's not long enough. But this is not the claim for Jesus. Because his death on the cross is the fulfillment of his mission and life's work, even after 33 short years. But why? Why did Jesus have to die? At this point, I'm going to give you four reasons, and I'd love to claim them for my own, but I can't. They came out of the very, very large mind of John Stott, so I'm not going to claim them. And what he said is that what we need to think about is there are four clear reasons of why Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die for us. Jesus had to die to bring us to God. Jesus had to die to pay for our sins. And Jesus had to die for our death. That's what we're going to be looking at. And that's, hopefully, will help us understand why is these 33 years with the death on the cross was the most glorious victory and not the end of a life, but the beginning of something far more significant. So we'll start for us. Jesus died for us. He went voluntarily to the cross for us, for me and for you. He wasn't forced. He wasn't bullied. He wasn't coerced. He did it for our sake and not for his own. Let's look at the Isaiah passage. Okay, so if you've got the Isaiah passage, we're going to do. And what we're going to do, it's on the screen, but you've got it, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to. So a couple of weeks ago, we went away on our staff day away, and Steve taught us a deeply theological method of Bible study, which I want to share with you all, because I want you to show how sort of, you know, the level we're at, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to read through this, and when I get to something that's about Jesus, when you think it's about Jesus, I want you to point at the cross and shout, Jesus! Okay, can we try that? One, two, three.
Jesus.
Thank you. Okay. And when it's about us, I want you to stand up and shout, me! Okay, are we ready? One, two, three, go, me. Okay. You're impressed, aren't you, eh? You know. You know. 24/7 sitting there going, well, we've done that anyway, so you know. So anyway, so. Are we ready? Jesus, me, remember. Okay. So let's read this. Surely he was born for our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken and struck down by God and afflicted. I was a bit, I'm not sure about that one, isn't it? So, but he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment made for us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. We're all like sheep. They have gone astray. We have all turned on our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Fabulous. See, we're very, very, we're very deep. It's that's how we do Bible study, actually. So, you know, it's like, that's how we did it once. So, it's like, so. Move on. Yeah, I could have shown you that one, so I highlighted them. And so it's actually, these are the things that when we look at it, and the serious point behind it is actually we said, we, more than Jesus. So this passage, which the Isaiah passage was written, there is more about us than it is about Jesus. It's more about why he had to die for us and what it did for us than it is about the person who actually did the dying. And that's what this passage looks at. So it's actually saying, yeah, it's not about us. It's about him. But he had to die for us. For you and for me. Jesus said this in John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He was willing to give up his life. In the upper room, he took bread and he took wine. He broke the bread. And he said, this is my body given for you. For you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's all about me and you. The death of Jesus on a cross is about me and you. And that's why he did it. The second thing is, Jesus died to bring us to God. When you read what John Stott says, he says this. He says, the beneficial purpose of Jesus' death was focusing on our reconciliation. It's a bit of a mouthful. So what does it mean? Well, let's look at this passage again. But he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that was that made us whole, and by his bruises we were healed. Jesus died for us so that we could be healed in God's sight. We can be reconciled. We can be made right with God. That is what Jesus' death is focusing on. That through it we are made right with God. A rightness that was fractured when Adam and Eve took an apple and bit into it. Remember the big story. We rebelled. We were separated from God. Through Jesus' death, he's able to give us, who believe and turn to him, a blessing of great salvation, which we are all in desperate need of. We are being saved from the eternal separation from God. Which moves us to the third point. He died for us. He dies to bring us to God. He died to pay for our sins. Sin is the greatest obstacle stopping us receiving the gift of eternal life. Paul talked about that second week. God wants us to have life with him. But sin, this obstacle, has to be removed before we can receive the gift. That's what has to happen. So back to Isaiah. Surely he was born, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a punishment was made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. Notice the words. Bore our infirmities. Carried our disease. Wounded for our transgressions. Crushed for our iniquities. These are words that are being used to describe the human condition. And not necessarily the condition of us physically decaying and breaking, which we do. But it's describing our spiritual self. Our disease, our infirmity, our transgressions, our iniquities are all words for our sin. The illness that we all have, no matter who we are, is the fact we sin. And therefore we are separated from God. This causes our separation. And this can only be cured by the spilling of blood, which is the way that atonement or sin has to be paid for. Mark talked a little bit about that last week, about the lamb who was slain to atone for sin. Jesus is that lamb. But unlike the lambs and the rams and the other animals that were used in the temple, Jesus is a once for all, never needing to be repeated, sacrifice that has paid for the sins of all. Jesus died to pay for our sins by his blood. The final reason, Jesus died our death. Jesus' death and our sin are linked. There's a relationship. Our sin requires Jesus' death. Well, our sin requires death, actually. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, a price has to be paid. A price has to be paid. And that price has been paid by Christ. Back to the passage. Surely he bore our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the punishment was made. That made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He bore, he carried, he was stricken, he was struck down, he was wounded, he was crushed, he was bruised. He took on our punishment, or our reward. The wages of sin are death. It's a reward. It's a funny reward. It's what we get for sin. But that was laid on him. Death throughout the Bible is not seen as a natural event, actually, but as a penalty for our sin. It was not part of God's original intention for man. Our death is a result of our sin. Jesus did not sin, therefore did not deserve death. So, he voluntarily gave up his life for us, paying the price that was owed, the price for everybody else that was owed. He died in our place, which means that when we believe in him and we follow him, we have our sins forgiven because he's paid the price. He has stood in our place. And therefore, we are forgiven because God counts us blameless. And what that means is, with our sins forgiven, we are granted eternal life beyond this physical life. So why did Jesus have to die? Jesus had to die for us. Not for himself. It's for us. He had to die to bring us to God. Because of our condition, we are far away. He had to die to pay for our sins. There was a price that had to be paid. And that price was death. Death on a cross. So how does that fit with the big picture, the meta-narrative? Jesus took our place and died for our sin. He was a sacrifice on the cross for us. It is such a fundamental event. It shows that his death was not a failure. It didn't cut him off in his prime. It was the pinnacle of what he was here to do. Because unless he died on the cross, we could not be made right with God. We could not go back to the relationship we had before we turned our back. So, what about us? What's the implication for each one of us of the cross? Well, I think if you know Jesus, if you can say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then we need to daily go back to the cross and thank him for what he's done. Dying for each one of us so that we can be made right with God. And what I suggest is when later on you eat the bread and you drink the wine, you almost recommit yourself to serving Jesus and following him as a sacrifice because of what he's done for us, and saying, I'm willing to put my life back into your hands and do with me what you will because of what you did for me. And every day we should live in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. And that our life is this act of worship to him. If we don't know Jesus, what's the implication? Well, I would suggest if you're not Jesus, then actually you need to seriously consider what the cross is and how it affects you. Because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have a serious thing to consider. Do you want to recognize that you're sinful and that actually it's only because of Jesus' crucifixion, his death on the cross, that you can actually be made right with God? And if you've never said, I want to turn to Jesus, then tonight is that opportunity. Tonight is that opportunity when you take the bread and the wine just to offer your life to God and say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, and I want to say sorry for my sin. Or perhaps you're somebody who's drifted away. And again, you may want to do that. Or maybe you want to talk to somebody, and afterwards, when we have a time of prayer ministry, there'll be a couple of people in the prayer chapel who'd love to talk with you and pray with you. There's also a couple of books you can take. We have lots of things here that we can give you. Take a book and read it. But because of the cross of Christ, we can't just say, oh, that's interesting, and move on. It is one of the most fundamental things in the history of the world. Because we're all we are like sheep who have gone astray. We've all turned to our own ways. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We are sheep. We have gone astray. And Jesus tonight is saying, come back to the shepherd. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the 500th time. But come back to the shepherd and make him the focus of your life. Let's pray.